Fifi, Dave, Feb and Byron put together this catch-up to help you get all their best bits in one place. BCA National put together an internship program to help you stand out and get your foot in the door.
Guys, vive la France. France has a new president, and I was surprised, Boxy, because you visit there pretty much every holiday. So I was surprised it's not you.
No, Macron. Macaroons. Every time I see his name, I just think about macaroons.
Don't you? Emmanuel Macron. Ooh, the independent, he became president, 39 years old, youngest head of state for 200 years.
Too good
on you,
since Napoleon.
Too young.
Yep. Now, but as a head of state, you know when you get into power, you always get phone calls from all the people around the world, other heads of state. And guys, we've got a finger on the pulse here because we've actually got our hands on the phone call from Trump to Emmanuel Macron.
Oh, the actual phone call.
Wow.
How do we get this access?
Bonjour, Emmanuel Macron speaking.
Emmanuel, hi, it's Donald Trump here, the US President. I'm just calling to say congratulations.
Ah, merci, Mr. President. It is an honor to be voted in as head of the French state.
Sure, but let's cut to the important business, okay? This is very important, I want you to listen.
All right.
Question, and please answer this seriously, because I really need this information, I really do. In France, do you call them French fries or just fries?
I'm unusual, just call them... fries or frites.
See, Melania, I told you they don't call them French fries. You lost the bet. Now I get to have a mistress.
This is highly confusing.
Okay, now that that's done, so my advisors tell me you're only 39. That is very impressive.
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
My advisors also tell me you're the youngest head of state since Napoleon. Oh, God, I love his ice cream. Strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate. Great combo.
No. Napoleon, not Napolitan. He was a dictator.
So he's a dictator and he invented ice cream? Holy crap, I'm putting that one on my dream diary.
Terrible, très
stupid. So hey, there's 25 years difference between your wife and you. You dog, you. What a player. Wait a minute. You're 39, so that makes her... 14. Dude, that is not cool.
No, Mr. President. My wife, she's the older... One, I'm 39, she is 64. Hello? Hello, Mr. President?
What the hell just happened?
You have a problem with the Edge de France. Well, in France, there is no problem, Mr. Trump. It is just a number. Love is love, and you cannot control it.
A little bit of vomit went in my mouth. Okay, I just... whatever tickles your pickle. Listen, I gotta go. This has been a great chat.
Au revoir.
Hey, it's Kelly Conway there. Ask her if I can ban marriage to old chicks.
Pardon, Mr. President, I am still on the phone.
Can someone please hang up the phone?
Merde, idiot, Tremon.
Fifi, Dave, Feb and Byron.
Remember last week, guys, when I was furious because Jacinta Campbell had been named the face of Cadbury Chocolate and it was my dream to be the face of Cadbury Chocolate.
It's a turf war.
It was a turf war because I just believe, you know, there are... There are not many things that you give your life to. Your children, your parents, your family,
your job.
and then there's something else in your life that you might give your life to.
You've never given your chocolate to anyone.
No,
you ate Trixie's Easter presents.
No, but Feb, you've got the basketball. Dave, you've got the basketball. Byron, you've got basketball.
Yeah.
I've got chocolate. It's my thing. It's my everything in many ways. Like it's my go-to. It's gotten me through a lot of tough times in my life. It's been there for me. And I just felt
and
when
it doesn't
Jacinta
talk
Campbell
back.
Got that. And I just went, nah, I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure she was sugar-free not long ago. So I'm a little bit dark about all of that.
Mate, 100%. And the whole time I've known you, you have done a lot of research to deserve
Thank
that
you.
Title.
Thank you, Dave. I have. And I did get a bit annoyed about it, but... I have a little letter in my hands, guys, I would like
great.
To share with
this
you.
This is great.
It is from the good people of Cadbury.
Oh, my God, this feels like an Oscar announcement.
Read the right name out.
Okay. Hi, Fifi. Thank you for all your love and support of Cadbury. And I appreciate that, guys.
Mate, this is a long time coming, if I've got to be honest. They could have sent that 10 years ago and they would have hit the mark.
I reckon I could have bought a house with how much Cadbury chocolate I bought. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I've propped up the company. We would also like to fulfill your dream and invite you to be a Cadbury taste tester.
Oh, no. this is, you're not going to be on the show anymore, are you?
And then to tide you over, they have sent me a few blocks of chocolate.
Oh, thankfully.
You've got the golden ticket.
This is like Willy Wonka. This is actually the Willy Wonka golden ticket. They've even written in gold text.
Oh, they have it too.
That's what you expect from the guys at Cadbury.
Aren't you more like Augustus Gloop? Which one are you in the Willy Wonka of the whole thing?
And I'm
Veronica.
Not
is it Veronica? Veronica Vaughn? No, that's a different movie.
Aunt Veruca Salt. I'm not even joking. When Marvelous Creations came out.
Hang on. I'm going to stop you here. I've read into this letter.
You've read a bit further down.
I've read a little bit.
Oh, no. Sorry, there's an asterisk.
To tie you over till then, please enjoy and feel free to share with Fev and the team. I didn't get any chocolate. Did you get any chocolate?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Yes, it does. It says, feel free to share with Fev and the team.
Oh, it did say that. I'll bring you some.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
A dream has just been realised for me. I have been approached by Cadbury's to be a chocolate taste tester. And I didn't even really know that was a job, but I will take it. And I don't even care if it's not paid. I will do it. I will commit my life to it. I love chocolate so much.
We've just picked up Fee's review and it was more. Which is an interesting description.
But see, as I said, I didn't know that existed. And there are jobs, you know, it's like once in a lifetime you're at a party or somewhere, you bump into someone and you meet them and you find out what their job is and you go, are you kidding me? It's like Insta models or Instagram travelers. You're traveling the world, staying in 6-star accommodation and you don't do anything for it. I mean, that is an unbelievable job.
Good job. Correct.
Good jobs out there that we don't know about. John from Templestowe. Hi, John.
How you going?
John, great. Have you got your dream job?
I wouldn't say it's my dream job, but it's probably one of the comfiest sleeping jobs I've ever had.
What is it?
I'm a bed tester.
Oh, yeah, you are. You tell that to the ladies?
Well, technically, it's a bed technician. So.
John, talk us through that. So you get a call up to go in and lie on a mattress.
Well, actually, I work in a factory and I lay on about, say, 15 mattresses a day.
That's amazing.
Do you have to have a kip? Do you have to have a sleep or do you just lay on it?
No, you're just going to lay on it, lay in your perfect, like, laying position and then...
How long do you lie there?
Pardon?
How long do you lie there?
Normally about 15, half an hour.
Oh, that's a perfect...
That's a good job, Byron. Are we sure this is real?
No, this is absolutely real.
It's a good job, Byron, but... When you're sleeping, like you can always get into bed and go, oh, that's comfy, but it's in the middle of the night when you're a bit restless.
Yeah.
So I reckon you could probably push for a bit more kip, I reckon, maybe an hour or two on the bed.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we go for. And it depends. It depends on the size of bed, like the brand and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Now, let's be honest.
I smell a rat, but anyway.
A bed is there for you to sleep and other things. Who gets to test that out?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey guys, how's this? Went wedding ring shopping.
Ooh, oh, so we're finally, after 18 months, heading down the aisle?
About that.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
What? Ah.
We're just looking for the ring.
What do you mean?
Okay, I'm going to have to break this down for you guys because evidently our relationship never works in a straight line. Everything we've done asks about.
Can you please, I don't know if Fev knows, just quickly, the proposal wasn't necessarily straightforward either.
No, and I know for a man whose wife was his divorcee, which is now his fiancée, this is going to blow your mind apart, mate. So Nix and I, this all started, she proposed to me initially.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, Nikki proposed to me. And I went, that is not how it works. and then there was like...
A modern man.
Yeah, very much so. And then like 18 months later, I proposed to her when we were in Thailand. And she's like, I guess then we're doing this, are we? Because I did it 18 months ago.
Did Nixie ask your dad for approval before she asked you?
All that stuff. Yeah, to make sure it's all fine. And so then that happened. But she didn't want a ring. So we were engaged, but she said, no, I don't need a ring. And then it was Sonda, our lovely producer here, who said, just surprise her with a ring. So I did. Initially, she hated it.
It's a disaster.
And then a couple of days in, she came around to it and said, this actually, I quite like it. I said, oh, there you go. Who would have thunk it? But then she came around to now saying, well, hang on a second. I've got an engagement ring and you're not wearing anything. And we don't have plans for a wedding in the future because, as we talked about with the budget, we bought a house and that... taken a lot of money away. So when you think you're going to drop 20 large or something on a party, nah, we want a pergola.
Let's not forget you had the kid too. That can be a handbrake for weddings.
Exactly. So according to the law of the jungle, we're together anyway.
Get the fox to, we'll get married on air. Get the fox to play
the
for
the world-famous rooftop.
Yeah, perfect. Free.
But, actually, I'll flag that with it. So now she's like, well, you know, you swan around with no indication that you're in a relationship, yet I have an engagement ring. I went, that's actually a really good point. And so she said, I reckon we should just get you a ring to show that you're locked down. And I was like, it's not a bad option. So then I throw it out to the floor here for you three. Can you just wear a ring if you're not married?
So hang on, you're prepared to, and I love this, because you're saying you are prepared to wear a wedding ring on your finger, even though you're not married.
I'm not married, and I've got a ring on.
You've got a ring that's never going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
That's a solid commitment. Actually, Dave, I'll put this to you.
Oh, no!
if you really love Nixie, really loved her, you'd tattoo her name on your ring finger.
Just get
like
Nix.
Ferb.
You know, what's interesting about that comment, Fee? I'll show you a finger. It's probably not the one you want.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
A really scary statistic has come to light. RMIT and Monash University have done a study that said that 1 in 5 people are victims of revenge porn.
1 in 5?
1 in 5, Dave. Because we've heard about revenge porn over the last few years, and it's good now that it is a criminal offence and that people are being sentenced for doing this. And because in the world of social media and cyberspace, and this is something 15 years ago we didn't have to deal with.
No.
But now, you know, you can share any people who are loved up and in the, you know, blossoming phase of a relationship can send photos to each other, videos that are just exclusively for your partner, and then it all goes pear-shaped, and the next minute your partner, former partner, is furious and wants to get revenge on you, and they've group-alled a photo of you to your family, your friends, and everyone on Facebook. I mean, it's...
That's brutal.
Horrible stuff is going on.
I mean, I know, I don't want to act like old man Thornton. I mean, I am only 37, but I was before... Like, you couldn't do it on a Nokia. You would get 2 seconds in there, like, all right, you're full. Mate, there's too much information there. But for us on radio, you know, we have air checks, which means after the show, our boss goes through and goes, what did you say that for? What did you do that? It's all critical. Now, that's just with me talking.
Mm.
I don't need proof of that kind of activity and people going, could have done that better. Well,
what were you thinking at the 3-minute mark there?
While you're playing Snake 2 on your Nokia.
But you know what? And I want to say this because I think it's very easy for us and we should definitely be talking to our teenagers and young adults about this because they're things you don't think about when you're 16, 17, 18 or not. Yep. Even 20, you do silly things. But I'm prepared to say as an adult, a grown adult, I've done silly things that I even think to myself, oh, I wonder how that would play out.
Within elaborate. Within this area. Well, you're talking about this exact topic.
Well, I think we've all...
Well, hang on.
What?
Well, no, but that's fine. I mean, if everyone, it's 1 in 5, so Fee's just one in 5.
I'm trying to say that as a broadcaster, it's fine to sit here and preach, but I can say that we all look at people who are victims of this and think, oh, come on, you idiot. Why did you send that guy that or why did you let that guy take that photo or whatever? But when you are, and I can say as an adult, I've found myself in situations where things have gotten a bit heated and I've been in a loved up phase with somebody and then you send in something and you go, well, that will never get out. And... fingers crossed it doesn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys have gone so silent.
I know.
I don't understand. A lot of this is happening I reckon when there's a breakup
she's
in the
just
modern.
Been to elocution lessons. I don't know if she was brought up properly.
No, her mum's overseas. That's why we can do this stuff.
Yes, I'm about to say Pearl is overseas.
I'm opening up. No, but it is true that you just think, we think, oh, you often read these stories and you think, oh, silly girl or silly boy, what were they thinking? And I'm trying to say that for anyone listening, I've done it too, and you feel like an idiot afterwards because you go, why was I so gullible? Why did I really trust that person? So, and 131060, if you've got, you know, a tale to tell that maybe will be cautionary tale for people and maybe young adults need to hear this who haven't experienced revenge porn, it can be really debilitating because once you know that family and friends and it's gone public, something that can be as personal as your naked body or anything that's in that area, that can really mess with people's heads. And I know of someone that got severe anxiety through this.
Makes complete sense, especially if your family find out. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to be at the Christmas table and say to your nan, it's just a bad filter.
I felt like this when Alex saw the picture of Byron and myself naked in the bathtub.
That was...
We can't get that back, can we?
You can't unsee that. But this is actually far more serious than that. I mean, this is something that can ruin someone's life. I think we will bounce back from that silly picture.
Will we?
I'm not sure.
I haven't.
Anyway, 13 10 60. If you've been a victim of this, we can use the voice disguise. We can change names if we have to. It is a serious one.
Fifi, Dave, Fev, and Byron.
One in five Australians is now a victim of revenge porn, which is a startling statistic, and it's something we do need to talk about because we need to particularly educate our young adults coming through, teenagers. This is an area where I think back to when I had crushes when I was 15, 16, and if a guy said, "Oh, send me a pic," we didn't have phones back then. But you're so impressionable at that age and you've got such a crush on somebody, you might do that. And then next minute it's out and about or it's on a revenge porn site, and it's scary that this can happen. And as I divulged before, it's not just for kids. Adults do it too. And I can sit here and say, shake my finger and go, "Guys, don't do that." I've done it. And then I go, "What was I thinking?"
I reckon a standard breakup chat now, like in the last 5-10 years, would be, "Let's agree to erase everything." You know, that's actually a conversation you have to have now with someone before you part ways.
Just the cyberspace. It's just everything's there and it could come back to haunt you. So we've said for anyone who's got a cautionary tale about how revenge porn affected them to share their stories. And we've got Sarah from Berwick. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you going?
We're okay, Sarah. We're talking about a bit of a heavy topic here. And unfortunately, we know that you were a victim of this, Sarah. What happened?
Yeah, so basically I was engaged to a guy. Thought he was the most incredible person ever, as you always do. Didn't find out after about 8 months from when we broke up that he'd taken photos of me when I was asleep, completely topless. My head wasn't in them, but I've got a very distinctive tattoo on my ribs. And my friend sent it to me on Snapchat, funnily enough, saying, "Is this you?" And I knew straight away it was, obviously because of the tattoo, my face wasn't in it. And my friend wouldn't say what the website was until I sent them a comparative photo to make sure it was me. So I still don't even know where the website is. I don't know where the photos are, how far they've gotten. But turns out you just don't know who you're dating until something like that happens.
That is so, I mean, that's particularly scary, Sarah, because they were photos taken without your consent. And then they're just living out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, because Bridget, our producer, she had an amazing story this morning from when she was, I think, Bridget, you said you were 15 at the time.
Yeah, I was 15 and my friend was 16, and we just wanted money. Like, we wanted to go to a music festival at the end of the year. We went to Brunswick Street. We saw a little ad where you rip off the phone number. It said, "Girls of all shapes and sizes wanted for photos." They would pay us $200 if we sent one selfie in. It had to be a topless selfie. It didn't have to be fully nude or anything like that. I had to be 16 to do it, so I couldn't, but my friend did it. And years later, she, her boyfriend found the photos on his housemate's computer.
Wow.
So those photos that she thought was for artwork are just out there on some porn website being...
So we were told it was an art site. We were told that it was all for artistic purposes, and it wasn't at all.
Oh, these are decisions you can make when you're young, or as I've proven, when you're a bit older.
Older.
That we just need to think through, because one in five is a huge statistic, and I know that we now have legislation that's trying to stop this and at least criminalise people who perpetrate revenge porn. But I just think we all need to be mindful and educate
for
our
kids. I think in Bridget's case, and not to take away from the seriousness of what happened, but like as a general rule, something where you pull the sign off the lamppost may not be watertight, you know, in terms of an opportunity that is offered on a lamppost.
You
probably avoid that in future.
That's so true. And even though we mentioned it last break, it's well worth mentioning again. You know, if you two guys and your mates, but you think you should take a photo in a bathtub, just of you two and the Nicky Nunas, it's never a good idea.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
It's Mother's Day this Sunday, and a Melbourne primary school have decided to ban Mother's Day. Now, this is Moonee Ponds West Primary School. They've decided to replace Mother's Day with International Families Day. Now, that's in the interest of diversity. And before we go on, I'll just quickly read what the principal said. He said, this is Jeff Lyon, I believe celebrating International Day of Families is a more inclusive way of celebrating the richness, diversity and complexity of living and loving as a family in the modern world.
So he's trying to change a day that everyone else celebrates.
Yeah. Yeah. What he's doing, you know what, I don't mind what he's doing, and I have no problem with the fact that people, there are lots of caregivers in a family now, so there's, you know, parents, grandparents, siblings, caregivers, but I would argue, why don't we have a separate day for them? Why don't we have, I love his International Day of Families, and I think that is a great day to put on the calendar. But I know what you're saying, Fev. Mother's Day is Mother's Day.
It's a circle of life. So you say grandparents, but grandparents had Mother's and Father's Day when their kids were at school.
Yes.
And now their grandparents, their kids that celebrated their Mother's Day and Father's Day are now getting celebrated by their kids.
Do you know what I have always...
That's how it works.
No, and I agree with you. Look, I love Mother... I grew up with Mother's Day. I'm a big fan of Mother's Day. But I do often wonder for kids that don't have a Mother's or even for Father's Day... But then I think what I need to take from that, and I imagine what you're about to say to me, is, but that's life, isn't it? So you can only shield your children for so long, and then they're out in the real world. And, you know, Byron, you were saying this before, Mother's Day exists.
Yeah, outside of those school grounds, there is still going to be Mother's Day. Whether that's right or wrong, there's still going to be Mother's Day. It's like my boys' school in LA. The teacher said on Valentine's Day, you have to give, if you want to participate in Valentine's Day, you've got to give every kid in your class a Valentine's gift.
No.
Well, that's not the real world. No. I understand what they're trying to do. There's nothing wrong with the intent behind it. But in the real world, someone will fall in love with you. Someone won't. You'll break up with something. Like,
you
can't put it off. It's going to happen.
Now, I always think when drawing these parallels of like, when some people are celebrating, that doesn't take anything away from you. You know, it's like, you know, if someone's celebrating a bar mitzvah, if someone is celebrating another religious holiday, I don't go, well, where's my present? I'm like, they're having their celebration and that's fine. I may not be partaking in that. Mm. Like if you, like you said, say if you've got two fathers or a same-sex relationship and you're the child of that, you don't have a mother, like a
traditional mother.
A traditional mother, yeah. But that's fine. That's okay. That's a discussion now that you can have that, yes, you have two fathers and that's okay. It's just that a person's celebration doesn't take anything away from what your life.
No, that's so true.
And my mum's birthday is the day after Mother's Day every year. So if we're going to get rid of Mother's Day, just roll it all into one. Perfect. I'll save a present.
Actually, see, my mum's birthday was this week too. So I always got annoyed by that because I had to do birthday present and Mother's Day gift.
And when I was...
Really?
No, you smash it together. My mum's the same. Same week, mate. Just one present.
My dad's birthday is on the 23rd of December. So it all rolls into Christmas. So unlucky, Ange. But I used to meet when I was a kid and I had this conversation in the car when we're coming home, I got a piece of paper like we get here, Mother's Day stall. So the kids get to take money. I think it's a maximum of $10, minimum of $5. So no kids can take over and buy more presents. Yeah. So everyone gets the same sort of price. Everything's... I used to love that when I was a kid. Going to Mother's Day school and then you go through all the things and all the mums bring in all the stuff and then you buy it and you want to buy something for your mum. And I know with Father's Day, like there's always a stubby holder or a beer opener. And Father's Day, when it comes along, the kids have got that little present for you that they've brought from the store because they... I'm going to buy Alex a Mother's Day present from the kids because obviously they don't have any money, but I give them their $10. They have that present for their mum on Mother's Day and they get excited by it. Like Lulu was so excited yesterday.
And I think what's good too is because I remember this when I was at school on Mother's Day stalls and when there was, is a child that for whatever reason doesn't necessarily have a mum or father on Father's Day, I think the teachers are always really good and sensitive to that situation because we've all got, all children have a caregiver. So for that particular child, you make it a more broader, you know, it'll sense of the word mother.
Or,
so let's get your grandmother a Mother's Day gift.
I know. Like, my father's passed away. When Father's Day comes around, you know, you think about him and that's fine. Mm. I'm not annoyed at everyone else for having a dad. Mm. I'm not sitting there going, you're not thinking about me. I'm like, you know, you should be lucky to be in this situation. And I think about him on that day. I don't then think it's a bad taste.
Yeah,
exactly.
You'll teach your kids to help their friends. So if those who aren't fortunate enough to have a mum in their life, teach the kids to support that friend rather than pretend the day doesn't exist and change the name of it.
Well said, Dave.
Seems ridiculous.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The notion that Mother's Day is being banned in some schools, or one school particularly, Moonee Ponds West, the principal there is implementing International Families Day, and it's really, as he's pointed out, to celebrate the inclusiveness and the richness and diversity of the complex living family arrangements that sometimes get neglected. And I don't disagree with him. And I do, I like that. I've no problem with acknowledging caregivers in all their shapes and forms.
Of course, that's a good idea.
But I think we're all agreed in this studio, we still believe that Mother's Day is Mother's Day, and let's not get too PC and leave Mother's Day alone.
He's renamed the day. He's even put an international in front of it. I mean, he's really backing himself, this principle, isn't he? The whole world's got to do it now.
He's kidding himself.
It is interesting because we've got Jesse from Hoppers Crossing on the line. Are you there, Jesse?
Yeah.
Jesse, now you, where do you stand on Mother's Day being banned?
Well, I don't agree with it, but where my kids go to school, we've got Mother's and Other's Day still.
Oh, so, I like that.
Mother's and Other's Day.
Yeah, we keep Mother's Day.
Mother's and Other's Day. Gee, who's behind that? That's a great
name.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I love it. Mother's and Other's Day.
Let's get that to Mooney Ponds West, because that's what they should be calling their day.
That's brilliant.
Well, we've got Maria. Now, Maria, you are a parent at the school. Is that right?
I am. I've got two kids that are going there currently, and I'm just shattered to hear this morning because I had no idea. And, like, I wake up on Mother's Day excited and hope my kids are excited and experience, you know, the family time. And you know, it's just... There's no reason why this principal should make this decision without consulting the parents first. I mean, that's our day. Like, why take that away from us?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Maria, with the... Because I think sometimes in this politically correct world, people have the right intention. They're trying to be inclusive and trying to be respectful of everybody. But what that can sometimes do is disrespect and hurt people too. So there's always there's a flip side to this. And for people who love Mother's Day and have grown up with it, that is something you hold sacred, and you do, Maria. I agree. I can't wait till Trixie comes home with something from school for Mother's Day for me.
Yeah, I don't want to cancel that on you. I don't want you to miss out on a crappy Campbell's soup can pen holder.
Or an ashtray.
Oh, please.
But Maria, your kids are obviously at the school, so every other year you've woken up on the Sunday morning and they've got something from the Mother's Day store and you're super excited to get that, but this year you're not going to be able to have that. So
that's right. Well, I'm going to make sure that they still have their Mother's Day, and I'm going to enforce in our family and make sure that they don't miss out. And I still can't understand, like the other caller previously, why we can't have a Mother's and Other's Day. Like, who's to say that we can't have it? Like, who makes that decision without consulting the parents? I think it's our given right to still have the event. We don't cancel other events. So.
Correct.
Well, Maria, when you pick the kids up at 3:30 or 3:15, head off into the principal's office. I spent a bit of time in there when I was a kid. It's not too bad. And you tell that principal, it's Mother's and Other's Day.
Good stuff. Thanks for your call, Maria.
That Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up has provided many lols, but probably hasn't inspired you for a career in sport. Luckily, if you want a career in sport, BCA National have you covered. Find info and apply now at workinsport.com.au.